Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I'm Jenny Wren. I've been a festival booker for over 15 years, mom of two, four if you count the dogs. I've buried my sister and my parents, partied like it was 1999 for over 20 years, modelled for 5 minutes, worn far too many accessories and not enough self-care. I've had breast cancer and epiphanies. Safe to say, she's been around. You're listening to Hindsight Conversations, where my guests are invited to bring to the table what it is they want to discuss, feel ready to share from where they are in their lives. We meet it together with no agenda. No topic is off limits, from the frivolous to the profound, the gnarly to the joyful, painful to the practical. Red flag moments you can only see when looking back, but looking back to move forward. Join me weekly where we explore the 2020 vision of hindsight. Everyone has it. In this episode, I speak to Mulatu Ochena Okorie, a writer of African descent, an academic and member of the Arts Council of Ireland. She tells great anecdotal stories, which, in her words, can sometimes go on for long. In fact, it's stories that bind this episode from what she calls her manual for life. Good morning, Mulatu. It is so lovely to sit across the table from you.
I know.
And in fact, you're the first person I've gotten to sit across the table from and conduct a conversation.
What a celebration.
In person. So it does feel, I feel kind of more grown up or something. It feels very cool and it's lovely to be able to see your face and just get a better sense of you entirely, which is such a pleasure. The concept of hindsight is still the same. We have it all through our lives. We're ever changing, ever evolving. And when we spoke last, you understood that I didn't have you on the episode just to, you know, talk about your work or, you know, your arrival into the country or anything like that. There's no boundaries around. I just wanted you as a beautiful woman. We're moms, etc. And you went down a road that I suppose I was a little bit surprised with. But we went there and it was great fun. And perhaps you'd like to go there again. I'm not sure.
Well, definitely. We talked about, we looked at hindsight, that was the topic. And I thought, what epitomizes this subject for me in all its wholeness, I'll use that word. And for me, that's my spirituality in a sense, because I didn't start off, I've always been a Christian somewhat, a churchgoer, let me call it that. And then things kind of changed. And the more I delved into the word of God, as I will put it, things kind of, I grew as a person, not in sense of age, because we tend to think that we've matured, but there are certain areas of us that are still, you know, childlike in a sense, which is a beautiful thing. But we need to, yeah, as the, I'm going straight in, you know, as the Bible calls it, it says, you know, sometimes we drink milk, but we need to become meat eaters in a sense, so become tougher and become more mature. And the only thing that can, you know, give us that strength or that sense of maturity is the Bible, the Word of God. And the more I went into studying the Word of God, the stronger I became, you know, in a sense, the more I realized that, you know, so many things that would have left me, oh my God, floundering or drowning or, you know, it kind of steadied me. And I understood human beings from a different perspective.
Mm.
Like I told you, now I said to you that the Bible is like a book full of stories. That's yes. The way I look at it.
Yeah, I loved that.
It is my behavioral science book. If it's like textbook. If I see anything or whatever, I just need to go in there and read up on it, you know, and then follow the story and see the beginning and the end. And nothing has changed. As much as the world, we talk about so many philosophers and all that, but none of them matches what's actually the stories that I know. But and every one of them is real. Like I can tell you about yourself if I know. I can actually look at, you know, the things that if you tell me about an experience, I can actually look, you know, use that, go to the Bible and find someone whose story is so similar to yours that we would be amazed and tell you how, you know, the start of it and how it ended. Everyone is in there. Every character you can think of is created. Nothing has really changed. We've just, you know, we're just using new methods. I said the mobile phones are there now, but then you see that even with the mobile phones, there are references to it in the Bible that you see, that's, you know, actually what he's talking about, you know. So it's such a deep book and a great book as well. And it's really built me up character-wise, personality-wise. You know, I'm stronger. You know, I'm not easily fazed by things anymore as I would have been in the past. And I grow each, like I told you, you know, when we had the other interview, I grow each day. How I am today is not how I'm going to wake up tomorrow. You know, things that probably I might still get angry about today, I probably would not tomorrow, you know. So it's just that change, that growth is always there
for me. And when did that start for you?
I would say, you know, I think there were so many things that happened. I would say that this was not even at the time when I left. This was not the period when I was in direct provision or when I left direct provision. It was kind of much later in life, later than that. I think it was when I moved to Sligo because I was living in Adamstown for a while. You know, and then when I lost that apartment, you know, this was the time of, you know, people, you know, lost taking back their homes and all of which is okay in a sense. It's not like it's anyone's fault. And, you know, that was just how the nation was at the time. So I had to move. I had the only place I could find, like there was a house ready for me. Someone I knew at the time told me, or I still know, told me that there was a house available near hers in Sligo. And I thought, still, you know, I'm just going to move there. And I moved to Sligo. And at the time I was really, you know, it was such, I felt a sense of loss, you know, moving there because I didn't know anyone there. And the person that actually, you know, mentioned the house to me was not someone I was very close to when I was in direct approach. She was a friend to a friend to a friend, you know, that kind of three friends away. So it was just, so I didn't know anyone there. So I just moving there felt so lonely. So it was just a time of starting all over again, which I've done quite a bit in life, you know. So being there, I think that was when I really, and then I lost my little sister at the time as well. So it's just like a time of, okay, what do I do? Who do I hold on to here? You know, and that made me, I found God in a different way. And that brought me to the Word of God in a different light. Because, you know, in the past, I would have been someone who would only know as much as I hear in church, you know, whenever a pastor or a priest or a minister, whoever is preaching, you know, that is all that they say that I know, you know, to say open to Mark 3, and that's all I'm going to open and just read and that's it. It ends, you know, when I leave church. But then, you know, that period, I kind of started studying the Word of God, and that, you know, and there's a scripture that actually came to mind where it says, this was King David at the time. He went to war. And while he was at war, you know, there's this, would I say, a group of people that he's gone into war with, quite a bit, the Philistines at the time. So they went, you know, he was at war somewhere else, and they went to his, to where he was hiding in the, you know, where in the wilds, and you know, with his army, and they took his family, his wives, you know, all of the army that went with him to war. They took their families, they took their, you know, everything. They kind of, you know, ransacked the whole camp and took everything with them. So when David and his mates, they came back from war, they realized that everything was gone. The children were gone, the wives were gone. So his, his army mates were very angry with him, and no one was talking to him. So they isolated him, you know. And at that time he cried, and and the Bible says, there's just this line that says, and David encouraged himself in the word of God. So he went there and he found, you know, he read scriptures of things, you know, of course, this Bible is always of histories and all of that. So he encouraged himself in the word of God. And that was just so beautifully written. That was just my life at that time. I encouraged myself in the word of God.
You felt isolated.
I felt like I was away from my friends. I was away from everything that was familiar to me, which was Dublin at the time, because I've always, you know, lived in Dublin. So that was, you know, eventually he recovered everything, but just that line there was so strong for me. So
that was your life buoy. It sounded like that was your, that's what you grabbed onto.
Definitely, definitely. And, you know, which was what I kind of like held on to, and, you know, and everything in life, you realize that things just never remains the same. You know, things change. You just have to be patient with life, you know. So that taught me a lot, you know. I just, like I said to you, it just became this book of really huge, and so I learned how to be unfazed by things, because everything changes. Things change no matter how, you know, we always say this line that, you know, light always comes in the morning, or what, I can't remember how he said, but you know, but it's, that's actually true. Everything changed. Nothing ever remains the same. You just have to hang in there. And that's it, through the tough times, and you get by.
I loved where, because of how you're known professionally, which is a beautiful writer, and the book of stories that you initially put out, I guess, got your name on the map. So I found it very amusing, because I worked in marketing, for me, it's always about the marketing. So when you describe the Bible as just a really good book and a good book of stories, it kind of just, it made me feel like Jesus. Well, sorry. Yeah. Hello.
It's all right. I say Jesus all the time.
You know, it's, you know, when it isn't being thrown at me from the top of the church and in a pious way, and for all of the reasons that I ran from the church and Catholicism. But when you isolate it and look upon it as a book of stories and all the archetypal characters that are in there. My children went to a Waldorf school, and they're, although it's not Christian per se, it isn't the Christianity, but they use the saints as archetypal characters like that, because what they go through and how they sort of manage themselves. And it was just when you said it, when we had our last conversation, it kind of sold it to me in a different way. I was like, you know what, I think I could read that with different eyes now.
Oh my God, I urge you to, Jenny. I urge you to. It will change your life. I'm not telling you because I want you to, you know, start going to church, you know, all of those things. I just urge you to, because there's just so many hidden secrets in there. You know, it's such a character builder, you know. And there were so many things, like, you know, like all my years, I feel it was even until I discovered this, I feel like I wasted so much time and emotions and, you know, things that I could have handled differently, that I wish I, you know, I knew the word of God at that time as much as I do now. Because I remember there's so many stories, you know, even the story of Jonah. I think I mentioned that this last time we talked. I remember, you know, all the times I've heard the stories of Jonah, it's always about this man that, you know, that went into the belly's fish and stayed for 3 days. But then when I read it myself, I realized that there were so many things to that story. So many, you know, his relationship with God, for instance, the way that they could talk to each other, you know, like, a father. And the way, and it made me realize how much we can actually, I know some people don't believe that there's this being there, you know, I had this discussion with someone the other day. I said, I would rather, you know, everything we do in life, you know, people might call it foolishness, but at the end of the day, everything we do in life is about having faith in something, believing. You got into your car and you had to believe that you were going to get here. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a kind of faith that you had to exercise. We get on the plane, you know, there's a pilot. We don't see the pilot sometimes, but then you hope he has a, that he's, he says he is, and he has, you know, like he actually knows how to fly. And then we trust it. We trust this plane and we trust this person, you know, behind the seat to get us from one point to another. So we believe every single day, you know, as you go to bed and you hope and you have faith that you're going to wake up. So we actually do practice faith and belief and all of those things every single second of our lives. Mm. So, but then when you mention God and something, like, oh, how can you believe it? But then you're believing in every other thing that, you know, you don't see and you don't know and you don't question it. You know, you go to the hospital, the doctor says you have AIDS, you believe. Mm-hmm. You don't question it. So why wouldn't I believe it? I would rather believe in that than believe. I would rather believe in God, at least I know, and someone who loves me unconditionally, than to believe in someone whose, you know, love is conditional. Mm-hmm. That today they feel like they love me and tomorrow they don't feel like it. You know, today they're having good days, tomorrow they're having, like, I have my good days. And I don't need another person, you know, that'll be having another good days and bad days alongside me. I need to believe in something better than I am at the moment, you know. So I just have this discussion with them, like, that's just all it is, you know, I believe. So in reading that book of Jonah, it shows you the relationship that Jonah actually has with God and the kind of love, you know, like how God actually treats him like, you know, like a child. Like, I understand you. I understand your reluctance. I understand, you know, how, you know, so your child might be reluctant to do something and you're trying to show them why. Like, why did you let so-and-so have a pass? And you're like, okay, this is why I'm letting, so that they can learn. And, you know, these are just the lessons that are there. But the Bible is so intriguing and so interesting as a thing. I honestly, Jenny, I can't tell you how unfazed about life reading the Bible has made me.
Yeah.
I can't even, not in a bad way, but you just kind of understand human character, you know, and understand human beings in a different way and how, you know, we tend to, there's a lot of smoke screen that we have as, you know, as humans, or certain humans can have. And so many, you know, we're kind of a bit theatrical in a sense.
Yeah, there's, I always call it the kind of the front of house.
Yes, absolutely. Then,
you know, the kitchen at the back is a shambles. There's a lot of that.
So you kind of look beyond all of that, you know, and where all those things come from. You know, it's always this sense of, you know, of fear and all of that. So you kind of look beyond, and it teaches you, you know, patience as well. You know, it teaches you understanding. You realize that, you know, we can't actually, there's so much we can't do on our own that we just need something else, something extra to be able to do. There's just so much we can't. We're limited as you know, as human beings, though. So we need that extra strength.
It's all about interpretation, you know, and the Catholic Church for me just interpreted things incorrectly. As far as I'm concerned, that's purely my opinion, because I remember at quite a young age, like my father actually studied to be a priest, and he left the church. My dad was born in 1918, so this is a long, long time ago. Yeah. And he studied to be a priest in a seminary in France. And he left. So he was very close to the church. He loved it. He loved everything about it. But he was staunch that priests should get married. He was so vehemently, that's why he left the church. He was against it. He thought it was wrong. And I think he began to see what was going wrong all the way back then. And that's why he left. He couldn't be part of that. We think my grandmother may have not spoken to him again. We're not sure. I don't know. So I was very close to the church and the teachings and all of that. And I went to the Catholic school. But I remember feeling so let down by, you know, there was kind of the women in the locale and this very piousness and a bit like that, that you dress up to go to mass. But are you being that kind at home? Are you doing it on the streets? And also this kind of looking, oop, I've dropped something, looking outwardly to God as opposed to, well, hang on a minute. God is within me. I am God. I believe that more, that we are all. But I still, like you, this, I suppose that's why I was so amused and intrigued when, you know, how you presented the Bible, because it is, there are great stories. But I think we need to internalize those characters a little bit more rather than, you know, for me, it's not out there. And I can identify with, you know, Buddhist teachings. And I think we're all, there were, a lot of them are saying the same thing. Would,
for a long time, I didn't understand certain things, you know. Just like, you know, you've just said something there about the teachings and, you know, how people acted and all of that. For a long time, I struggled with that. And I'm just saying, not just about other people, but about myself as well, you know. But I've come to realize that in everything, you know, one thing that the Word of God teaches you is love. You know, and I think that sometimes we're so busy trying to fix so many things, fixing somebody else as opposed to ourselves, you know, ourselves. And I realized that, you know, the most important person to fix is yourself. And the only way you can fix yourself is, I'm not saying that this, you know, someone cannot maybe annoy you. But, you know, the Bible even says, don't go to bed mad, you know, as well. So that means it acknowledges that you might get pissed off, you know. So, but don't just let it linger for too long, because then there's a problem. So it's just to teach love. And I think that when we understand that, you know, when we look beyond everything else and just learn to just, you know, like, oh, Jenny, you know, just show love and, you know, and let that go, that we... the other way that we have been practicing, in terms of, it became the wrong way of practicing Christianity, because, you know, Christianity is about allowing people, you know, Jesus, if we look at Jesus himself, he didn't vibe with the, you know, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, you know, all of the religious people, because he was just looking for the others, all the others. And those were the people that he actually brought in, you know. And that's where we always get it wrong, because even Christians today, they're always looking for the people like them, as opposed to looking for the others, you know. And I was just having this conversation with someone recently, and I said, you know, we have to look beyond that, because we're always looking at things, you know, the Bible says this is wrong, that is wrong. So when we see things that are like that, that the Bible says are wrong, we focus on them, forgetting that we ourselves are doing certain things that the Bible says is wrong, but then we're doing it, you know, we normalize it, you know.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
So it's good for us to kind of leave that, you know, be open to loving people. And then those people that you think are different from you, if you love them, the only thing that God requires us to do, he said, pray for laborers into my kingdom, that they would, you know, they would harvest that, because he says the harvest is many, but the laborers are few. So all he asked us is, he didn't ask us to be the laborers going to, you know, get those people to bring them in. He just says, pray. So when you pray for, you know, laborers into God's kingdom, then he gets the right people to go to those people. But then if you are not showing those people love, if someone comes in and you look at them and they don't fit in and da, 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 you know, and then all of a sudden you give them seats at the back, and then someone comes in with, daddy, mommy, three children, you know, yeah, all of that, and then you give them the front seat, that's opposite of what God says you should do, you know. So that's... And that's just how Christianity has been for a long time. And I that's why so many people are opposed, or strongly opposed to it.
As I said, for me, the interest point, and particularly with how, you know, with your work, is the Bible. I think that just seems, and I can see your face as you're talking about it, that really is the central point, and the stories. So the almost like the sales system around it in terms of the church, is a by the way for me anyway. And I was struck as you were talking about, Jonah, and, you know, some of these stories are so, that they're a little bit difficult to get your head around. They're not necessarily user friendly. Have you ever considered kind of rewriting, not rewriting the Bible, but, you know, making it a bit more user friendly, making, like, you know, just pull out those learnings and remove this, almost remove the church a little bit. And that might sound dangerous, and I appreciate and understand I'm speaking to you as a Christian, but, you know, because there is such good stuff within these stories, and you don't have to be a Christian or a practicing Catholic, or to even believe in God to access those stories. Have you ever considered doing something like that?
Not really. Not really. Because I've always thought that I think it's just the fact that it's called the Bible that kind of makes
you
people...
You can't touch it.
Yeah, like people kind of go, there must be something there that will bite me.
Yeah, you're threatening to get demons out of people with it. It's not a happy read, you know.
Oh my God, it's such a happy read. I can't even tell you. Okay, just recently, I'm just going to tell you something happened recently. And, you know, I went into the Bible. Yeah, I told you, you know, when events happen, I just kind of like try to match it with a story in the Bible. I just kind of reassure myself, like, what do I do, or how do I go, you know? And that's just a few things that was just happening recently. And then I went to, I'm just going to read this to you, if you don't mind, if you have the time. And then I went to the book of, this is Acts of the Apostle, and I read the story of Paul. When Paul, you know, because he was going from city to city, and he was a hardcore, you know, he was hardcore against Christians. So he grew up persecuting them, like he would arrest them, throw them in jail, have, you know, things like that. So these were followers of Jesus after Jesus died. So he, at the time, his name was Saul. And he would go around doing all of these things, you know, like getting them and arresting them and all of that, until he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much you know, but I'm just going to put it out there.
I know who the Holy Spirit is, and I used to be afraid he'd go talking to me.
So he had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, and then he was converted, you know. And then, you know, after he was converted, he was going around to people's, you know, from city to city, preaching the word of God. And And for in some places, he would get there and they would welcome him. You know, people would, you know, listen to him, and then he, there was, some of them would get converted. And then in some places, you'll have some hardcore, you know, opposers who, you know, for some reason or the other, would not want to, you know, would not want him to be there, and they'll chase him out of town. So you find such behaviors, you know, sometimes there's some, there are just a few things that happened recently that, you know, made me think about the scripture, you know, and how things can happen. And sometimes things happen, you know, on a simple view, you think, oh, probably they didn't agree. And then, you know, if you don't agree with my opinion, you might walk off, you know, and do it. But then, you know, what moved them is not actually that they disagreed with Paul, but it was because Paul was successful with what he was doing. You know, people were listening and were being convinced by his argument. So they could not put out such an argument themselves. So what happened? So they went and gathered people who were rough, some rough characters. You know, we have sorts in Nigeria. I don't know if you know, we have to, you know, you go to they're always at the parks, and, you know, you just kind of like put them in your car, you know, just give them a little money, and, you know, they go out and they cause, you know, chaos. So, and this was what they did. They went and spoke to those people, and then, you know, they went and they caused an opera, and they assaulted, you know, the house where Paul was staying. And this is so you find that this happened all through, you know, in the story. And, you know, it got to a point where Paul was so upset that he said, you know what, I'm done. There was a city where he went, listen, I'm done, you know. And some, you know, but then something happened in Acts 18 where, you know, the Lord spoke to him in the night, you know, in the Bible records that, in a vision, and he says, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. You know, from a physical point of view, Paul would not know that there are people who actually are for him, you know. But, you know, spiritual God is saying to him, listen, don't be afraid of all this noise that is going on around you, of this opera and all of these gatherings and people making noise and, you know, all of that. He said, keep doing what you're doing. Do not hold your peace. Keep speaking, you know. And sometimes if you're making a change in a particular, you know, situation, or if you're speaking about a particular, you know, thing or subject that people don't want to listen to, you get such behavior. You find people who would want to twist your words, you know, play on, you know, all kinds of things, you know, media. They have they have the ability to gather men like that to come together. So that's, you know, so you say,
hold strong.
Exactly. You know, they have the ability to gather and say, oh, you know, like, let's make her uncomfortable. Let's do this to, you know, like, let's do this. Let's run her out of, you know, out of town and stuff like that. But then when you read the Bible, if you know, someone like, I just read and I'm calm, because things like that has happened before, thousands and thousands of years, you know, and yet, you know, all of these people, none of them were actually mentioned. None of them was given a name. There were groups, but only Paul was given a name. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? So only Paul was given a name, and it's only Paul that we still talk about. It's only Paul and Saul, you know, his other name was Saul, that we still name our children after up until this day. So, you know, and the only thing that can give you that confidence is if you know the word of God. Because if you're looking at what's happening around you, you might be terrified and go, oh. But then the Bible tells you something, a different story. It says, keep doing what you're doing, you know. Don't worry about these people. None of them is going to hurt you, you know. That's what, you know.
I mean, it's in today's terms, you could argue, well, certainly for you, it's your self-help guide.
Definitely.
You know, I went through a phase of reading a lot of self-help books and how, you know, but even that, I suppose that's what I mean. It's this, if you could modernize some of those, because to me, they are archetypal stories and archetypal people and scenarios and situations. And that reminder to always speak your truth.
Awesome.
You know, in the face of adversity, you've got to, you know, stay true and stay strong. And that's what I hear from that.
Well, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe in him as this deity. I believe he was a man. I believe, you know, but he's also this, again, an archetypal person. So I think there's a lot to learn or be reminded from. But I would have to remove the church from that. And how does that feel for you when somebody, you know, like I, as I said, I grew up in a Christian household, in a Catholic household. And it's, you know, I don't judge anybody's faith or how they manage themselves. But I am amused. And that's why I think I prompted you to talk about it today, because it's not a cool topic. It's not like, hey, you know, but it is very valid. And it supports a lot of people in their lives still. But how does it feel when, you know, let's say somebody like me, who I've, you know, I did my communion, my confirmation, I did all of it. And I chose for my children not to go. I didn't want them to go to a school, because to me, the gaps in how it was being taught felt more. I couldn't stand behind it. I couldn't. But I would offer these teachings, in a sense. How does that feel like?
I would, you know, not that you've said, it's something that I'll think about, but can I just say, just sometimes it breaks my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you why? Because I feel that, you know, whatever it is that has made you to feel that, I've sat with people who would, you know, I know that they go to church, you know, but then, you know, when we're talking about God and all of that, they're reluctant to say, I actually go to church, or my mother goes to church, you know. They say that reluctantly, and that's because they're afraid that other people would think them not to be cool.
And that's not right either.
That's not right.
No.
And it makes me feel so sad, you know. And I'm like, how has it gotten that we have to be, you know, like
silent.
Exactly. In our belief that, you know, like I have to, you know, for me to say that I'm a Christian and for me to, you know, declare what I believe on my faith, then I have to look like somebody would, you know, probably ostracize me or whatever the case may be. And that makes me so. And then when you said something about, I can't take away your decision about, but sometimes I say to people, why don't you let your child? The same way you went through it and you decided for yourself. Mm-hmm. Why don't you let your child go through it and decide for themselves? Do you know? A child could go and say, you know, Mom, I'm not interested in this. And another one might go and find, you know, if you have children have different, in my country, we say that a womb gives birth to so many children, but then they have different cheese, that they have different gods, you know, like your tummy just gives way to them. The rest of them is just, everything else is just, you know, different. So one child might like that and another child might not. So it's best to let them make that decision for themselves, you know, and another child might be just the most thrilling thing that they went through. So for me, I would just say, let the children make the decision by themselves, even if it's something that you don't understand. Because, you know, there's always this general theme that I find, you know, I've noticed living, I don't want to go into living in Ireland and all that,
no.
But I've noticed that people just tend to feel the same at the same time. And I'm like, how can we all feel the same thing at the same, like, how can we grouply think and set it, or, you know, in a group feel this way and in a group feel that? And that's because no one wants to be the outsider.
Mm.
Everyone wants to be in on one particular thing. And we just have to learn to be us, you know, and be authentic in our feelings and in our emotions and go like, this is it. I don't mind all that, but then the most important thing is that the Bible is quite accessible as it is. Yes, I know that sometimes some stories can be, I've seen some stories that have, some Bible stories that I would read that have been simplified, you know, I've seen them in schools, and sometimes it's simplified to the extent where
you missed the story.
Exactly. I'm thinking, why did they do this? Do you know what I mean?
It's like devoid of the point.
Yeah. So that's another.
Bring back the theologians and the these are the characters.
That's another thing. But I think the best thing is to maybe another way of looking at it is, rather than actually, yeah, there might be a bit of writing there, but actually maybe having people, if now schools are so opposed to religion that you can't even suggest to have people going to schools and teach the Bible as a story in itself. Like, I don't mind going into a school and teaching the story of Esther as a story. Like, let's go through the story of Esther and see what happens and then ask questions and all of that. But then the schools are so, because it's all about character. What it teaches is just character building.
Character building. That's all. Yeah.
It just teaches you character building to be to be who you are, you know, to believe in yourself, you know, no matter who you are, no matter what it is that you're going through. It's just, you know, sometimes I just, you know, like some people, you know, I'll just hear certain people who want something and they go, oh, people accepting. I'm like, why do you need someone to accept you? Do you know, like that's the main question is, why do you even think you need someone to accept you for what you like as a person? You don't need that. That's one. And then two, you know, we can build from there, you know, like you don't actually need someone to have other people authenticate you or validate you.
Looking for likes on Instagram.
Yeah, you don't actually do need that. That's, for me, that's where the core problem is, you know. Yeah, so like 90-something% of Christians don't actually read the Bible. They don't.
Yeah, there's a rote kind of, you know, you arrive to Mass, you mumble whatever. Your prayers, you throw on some holy water and you're home again watching whatever.
And the little portion they teach you is not the full story, you know. So it's a lot of people don't actually get to read the Bible. When you take your time to study the Bible, it changes you completely.
Manual. I like the manual idea. Manual for life. I have three very small questions that were part of the series. And I think you kind of almost answered one of them already. But what are you sorry you didn't start earlier? And I think you maybe mentioned you were sorry you didn't go to the Bible earlier. But is there anything you're sorry you didn't start earlier?
Oh, my gosh. No. What am I sorry you didn't start earlier? Maybe writing. Maybe writing. Maybe not sorry, but I wish I had known that I could, you know, it was something that even came to my mind. Not that I knew that I could do it, no. It was a case that I never even thought about it as you know, as something to do, like as a career path. Yeah, so maybe if that had come to me a little bit earlier in life, maybe, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But, yeah.
And what are you sorry you didn't give up earlier?
Okay. Interesting. What am I sorry that I didn't give up? A particular relationship. I won't go into details, but yeah. That came to my mind immediately, just I didn't want to say it.
That's all right.
I could play around. But yeah.
And what are you most proud of to date?
Okay. Of course. That would be, my daughter. And of course, my how far I've come in terms of the Word of God and all of that. Yeah.
Beautiful. And your own work, I would assume.
That would be third in line.
You have such incredible work out in the world. I would hope you're very proud of that.
I am. But, you know, like things like that, I just believe that, you know, they're replaceable.
Okay.
There are other things that are not replaceable.
We haven't spoken about your work, and you know, we can find you online and we can find your work, which is amazing and beautiful. And maybe just quickly you'll let us know where you are in your work at the moment.
Well, just little things here and there that I'm doing. Has it supported? I think sometimes it makes me, I enjoy reading it more than I enjoy doing my own thing. So sometimes I think, yeah, but, you know, I don't mind it because it stabilizes me in a sense. It's almost like when you get to a space where you're, you know, rather than picking up the phone and calling someone and saying, oh, da, 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 I do is I go to the Bible and I read up something and I'm like, okay, and I get that sense, you know, that good feeling, that calmness, and then I can proceed there. So I think sometimes I do, if someone is looking in, they'll say I spend much more time in this, but it's just because I needed to get through, you know, stuff and just to stabilize me in a sense.
Thank you. I love that you are this amazing writer and professional woman in the world, and you've opened this part of yourself, which, yeah, you know, let's be clear, Christianity isn't cool, you know, but I think it's a very honest and valid conversation, and you know, it may support others to either go back to the Bible or be reminded of there are supportive stories or paragraphs, however you want to look at it, supportive things in there. And I think it's well, as I said, I, you know, my own choices are my own choices and that's it. But I think it's really great that you brought this to the table. And that your hindsight has been, yeah, your spiritual growth through this manual for life we call the Bible.
I know. And, you know, like, it's just been so long that we have actually, you know, opened up this area. And it just makes me, and thank you for making that possible. Thank you for even being interested in it enough, because it's something that a lot of people do not have patience for, you know. But I think it's a beautiful thing. I think that sometimes it just makes, you know, for especially for us who are mothers, it makes, if there is something that we can do to make our children stronger, you know, to be able to navigate the world better, you know, why not? Mm. You know, and for me, I think that's just a way for us as human, even, you know, it's we know how pretty hard the world is to navigate.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're working on yourself, which is the best thing you can offer your child when they see you get stronger. And, yeah. And you know, that's the best thing we can do for the world at large. And, you know, our own smaller communities is to work on ourselves and work on that inner God and that inner, you know, and as you said, what all religions are saying is love. Let's face it. That's
as
difficult, and you know, like when it's not difficult.
It's just been so much divisions and all of that we have. We started to see each other differently, and we don't even, you know, like the basic thing. It's just so much has happened, and we've just kind of let it slide. That it's almost like the walls have been built there so high that it's hard to break it all down. But then the basic thing is just, when you read these things and you know, you listen to it, and then you understand characters as well. And then when someone comes to you with something negative or something, you know, you're instant. But if you're not attuned to these things, if you've not been taught,
you might react.
You react, or then you take it as face value. Mm. But then when you attune to this, you know, this doesn't sound right. This does. I can't even tell you an object. Like, it's just so much.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And come find me over in Hindsight Conversations on Twitter and Instagram.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.